This is the Down East Journal on Public Radio East. Striped bass is one of the most popular saltwater game fish on the East Coast. Stripers spend most of their time in the ocean, but each year in the spring, they make a journey upstream to spawn. And that's when local anglers flock to the Neuse and Trent Rivers to test their luck.
We call them rocks around here, and they're pretty strong fish. They will snap a line in a minute, pole too. Yeah, that's good fish to fight with.
Bayborough resident Vance Sawyer is a longtime fisher, and striped bass is among his favorites.
So I fish at night for striped bass. We normally fish around a railroad track. They put it lively around the tracks.
Silver with black horizontal stripes, most stripers grow about 4 feet and weigh up to 30 pounds. They are thought to live up to 30 years. According to the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, overfishing and poor environmental conditions led to the collapse of the fishery in the 1980s. Since then, efforts to replenish their populations have helped the species make a comeback. Stripers are now found along the Atlantic coast from the St. Lawrence River in Canada to St. John's River in Florida. To help repopulate the waters in our state, the North Carolina Wildlife Resources Commission stocks rivers with more than 100,000 striped bass annually. There are two hatcheries here to raise them, the Watha Hatchery in Pender County and the Edenton National Fish Hatchery in Chowan County. Coastal Fisheries Supervisor Chad Thomas.
Striped bass fry are taken from the hatchery building where they were spawned and put into ponds, you know, at the hatchery, on the hatchery grounds. As those fry grow to 1 to 2 inches, they're then removed from the ponds. They're graded and sorted and then put back into another series of ponds for grow out to almost 8 inches.
The hatcheries receive the broodstock in April, and the striped bass fry grow throughout the summer and fall. By December or early January, the juvenile fish have reached the appropriate length and are ready to be placed in eastern North Carolina rivers. In the wild, striped bass fry are eaten by a variety of fish in the Pamlico Sound, including speckled trout and drum. Predators like largemouth bass, crappie, and white and yellow perch in freshwater areas will make a meal out of baby striped bass, too. For that reason, hatcheries tend to have higher survival rates. With 100,000 fry, Thomas says a hatchery can produce about 80,000 8-inch fish.
Our hatcheries are very efficient. These fish being 8 inches, we're talking about thousands of pounds of fish that are being stocked each year.
Each spring, striped bass make an annual spawning run. The fish in the Tar River swim past Washington and up to Rocky Mount to begin to spawn. In the Neuse, the fish pass by Newbern and Goldsboro, where they spawn around Smithfield. Sometimes, if the water flow is high, the fish can swim as far as Milburney Dam and Raleigh to lay their eggs. According to Thomas, striper populations in eastern North Carolina rivers are considered stable, but at low levels. Overfishing is one concern, but the most significant limiting factor is slow water flow in the Neuse and Tar rivers.
Striped bass eggs themselves have to be suspended in the water to survive. So if you have good flow, then these striped bass eggs can float. The egg itself has it's semi-buoyant, has a little oil droplet in the egg.
To help replenish the waters of eastern North Carolina, the Wildlife Resources Commission began stocking striped bass in the Neuse, Tar, and Cape Fear rivers in 2001.
We shifted from stocking a small one-inch fish to the program that we have now, which is where we stock 6 to 8-inch striped bass that have higher survival, and we see a lot higher return by stocking these larger fish.
Thomas says the goal of the restoration program is to double the current wild population and try to increase the number of older fish.
The fish that are there are young. You know, we do not see a lot of older fish in the population that would indicate we have a good strong run.
Mature striped bass help stabilize the fishery because they are more resilient and can produce more offspring.
Those eggs that the older fish have are larger, and a lot of times they do better because of that. So we want to see more older fish because this keeps the population healthy.
The Wildlife Resources Commission has an annual goal of placing 100,000 striped bass 6 to 8 inches long into eastern North Carolina waterways. Each year, that request is met successfully by the hatchery and sometimes surpassed. In fact, last year, 200,000 striped bass were delivered to local rivers. Creating a healthy, self-sustaining striped bass fishery is one of the main focuses of the restoration program, but it also has a positive impact on the economy. Thomas says where there's greater number of fish, there will be a greater number of fishermen.
The anglers spend a lot of money in the local community. You can just ask them. They spend a lot of money on boat gas. They will buy bait whenever they're fishing. They a lot of times will stay in hotels. A lot of them will actually hire a guide to take them out. So there's a lot of expenditures, you know, in the local communities as anglers are pursuing, you know, striped bass, in particular on these runs in the spring.
As the number of stripers increase, the Wildlife Resources Commission is monitoring the impact they have on other species since they are piscivorous and consume other fish. Eventually, Thomas believes the Wildlife Resources Commission won't have to stock local waterways, and one day the striped bass populations will be strong enough to sustain themselves. Until then, we have the opportunity to help this native species thrive in eastern North Carolina again. During this membership drive, Public Radio East is providing 100 striped bass babies for each pledge we receive. PRE's Assistant General Manager, Jill McGuire.
If we get anywhere between 600 to 800 pledges during our spring drive, that's 60 to 80,000 fry that we will give to the Wildlife Commission. And we can do that because during the 25th anniversary, when we were hoping to build an oyster reef, we had a little over 800 pledges.
If Public Radio East receives 800 pledges during this fund drive, we can provide more than 80,000 striped bass fry for the Wildlife Resources Commission. Coastal Fisheries Supervisor Chad Thomas says that alone would take care of 25% of the annual stock requirement.
Oh, yes, it's a tremendous impact. Listeners that make the pledges help support these stocking efforts.
You can be a part of the Striped Bass Replenishment Project by making a contribution today in any amount.
Now more than ever, your pledge is going to be very important, and it's twofold. It'll support public radio here in eastern North Carolina, and it'll help to restore the striped bass in the Neuse and Tarpamlico Rivers.
And now is the time to not only support great public radio in eastern North Carolina, but great fisheries here in eastern North Carolina as well. Your pledge today at publicradioeast.org pays for the programs you listen to, such as the Downeast Journal, and again will also help the Wildlife Resources Commission as they try to improve the fisheries here in eastern North Carolina. Your pledge will enable us to pay for the programs you use and also a contribution going out so that fisheries can be improved in eastern North Carolina.
You can make a pledge of support at publicradioeast.org. Now, as you listen to the Downeast Journal, you're going to hear a variety of topics that range from arts and cultural events to health reports and science news. And if you rely on Downeast Journal as a source of local news, please give today. And please consider this, too, that when you listen to the features, we're not going to give you a short, condensed summarization of the story like other news stations. When you listen to the Downeast Journal, you know you can hear in-depth analysis of issues affecting our region. And because we know this matters to you, we take as much time as we need to give you the full story and everything that you need to know to be informed. So your pledge today ensures continued access to this kind of high-quality local journalism that you hear on the Downeast Journal. If that's worth your pledge of support, and we think it is, make that pledge at publicradioeast.org.
Again, it's publicradioeast.org. A range of topics are heard right here on the Downeast Journal, range of local topics, and there's other great programs that you hear on Public Radio East, Morning Edition, and All Things Considered. Likewise, a range of national and international topics. It also takes a range of listeners to compile the resources we need to make sure you have this continued access to all the great news and information you expect on Public Radio East. And again, the cost of your pledge, that is entirely up to you. We don't set the price for you. We just ask that you look at the time you spend with this station, look at your own financial situation, and pledge accordingly. If $40 is where you're comfortable, that makes you a member in good standing here at Public Radio East. Maybe you can make that $240 day sponsorship pledge to Public Radio East, where you get to take a day and put your name on it. Again, that's available when you make a $240 pledge. You can make that pledge right now, again, in any amount to become a member at Public Radio East. Do so online at publicradioeast.org.
We're asking for your financial support today. Think about how much you enjoy having access to this local news program as well as all your other favorites on Public Radio East. Make that pledge of support at publicradioeast.org. And remember that we're partnering with the North Carolina Wildlife Resources Commission for the Striped Bass Repopulation Project. Each pledge made to Public Radio East during this fund drive means 100 fish fry babies that will be nurtured to juvenile status and then released back into the new Sirtar Pamlico Rivers. So your pledge is supporting Public Radio East, an important resource for news and entertainment, and it's also supporting another resource, the striped bass fishery in eastern North Carolina. Make that pledge at publicradioeast.org. And thank you.
This weekend, Tryon Palace is having Civil War Weekend, A Family Divided. It explores the effects that war had on the American family during the 1860s. The event includes Civil War-themed tours of the Stanley and Dixon House, crafts, and a photo booth that allows you to dress in 19th-century clothing. Public Radio East's Mac McKee has more.
I'm speaking with Nelson McDaniel, president of both the New Bern Historical Society and the Tryon Palace Foundation. Thank you for being our guest on the Down East Journal.
I'm grateful to you for being willing to interview me about these events.
The Civil War will be taking center stage this weekend at Tryon Palace. What are some of the events?
Saturday, we will have a number of events sponsored by both Tryon Palace and New Bern Historical Society. A Civil War weekend corresponds roughly to the dates of the Battle of New Bern and the occupation of New Bern in March of 1862. This particular Civil War weekend is called A Family Divided, and we'll be looking at the relationships among people during that period around the war and the occupation. And there are lots of exciting events that will be going on. The opening of the new Civil War exhibit at the New Bern Academy, one of the best preserved buildings in New Bern, and this exhibit, which will be there for many months, is going to be an outstanding exhibit. We will also have all kinds of events going on there on the Academy Green. The Charlotte Artillery will be there. The Charlotte Artillery was at the Battle of New Bern, and the reenactors from the Charlotte Artillery will be there. Then on Saturday evening, the New Bern Family History Society is sponsoring an event with Chris Fonville, who will be speaking on the events around the Battle of New Bern. So there's a lot going on, and it even continues into Sunday.
Now, Mr. McDaniel, your theme, of course, is A Family Divided. What were the effects on eastern North Carolina between 1861 and 1865, and particularly, I'll say, the strategic importance of the Battle of New Bern in 1862?
Well, New Bern, like much of North Carolina, had divided loyalties. Of course, there were many, many people here who were who favored secession. There were other people who did not. But in March of 1862, to some degree, that became moot to the extent that New Bern was occupied or slash liberated, depending on which side you represent. And that battle took place here because of New Bern's strategic importance, particularly the railway. The railway had been built here in the 1850s. It was an important source of supplies for the Confederacy, and so the Union sought to cut off those supplies. The Battle of New Bern took place, and the Union was successful in breaking through the Confederate lines, and by nightfall on March 14, 1862, New Bern was in Confederate hands. It was so important strategically that Robert E. Lee tried to recapture it and was not successful.
What is the admission price for the event this weekend?
Well, it depends on what event you're attending. Many of them are free and open to the public. There will be an encampment at the Academy. There will be an encampment over at the Battle of New Bern Battlefield, and both of those are free and open to the public. The exhibit at the Academy, which will be open Saturday and Sunday, and then on weekends for the next few months, the admission charge is $6 for adults and $3 for children. If you go to the Tryon Palace website or to the New Bern Historical Society website, then you can get a full layout of all these events, including some that I haven't mentioned.
Thank you, Mr. McDaniel.
Well, thank you. And again, thank you for making people aware of these events. It's an exciting weekend coming up, and we are grateful to you for allowing us to talk a little about it.
You're listening to the Down East Journal on Public Radio East. I'm Jared Brumbaugh, along with George Olson, asking for your pledge of support to ensure Down East Journal and all of the programs you use at Public Radio East will continue for another year. Make your pledge today at publicradioeast.org.
Again, pledge online at publicradioeast.org. Your pledge supports the programs you use. Bottom line, what these fund drives are all about is just making sure we have the necessary funds on hand to pay for the programs that you demand from Public Radio East. You want to be informed on what's happening in your local area, nationally, internationally. When something happens, you come to Public Radio East to find out. Well, you can find out because folks like you in the past have made your pledge to the station. We take that money, turn it around, send it back to you in the form of programs like the Down East Journal, like weekend favorites like Car Talk and Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, or perhaps you're a fan of Tom the Jazzman on a Sunday night. That's what your pledge pays for. That's what these pledge drives are all about, making sure that the programs you expect to be here are there for you when you expect them. So if you haven't made your pledge as of yet, support programs like the Down East Journal and more here on Public Radio East. Pledge online today at publicradioeast.org.
Listeners are really the single largest source of funding here at Public Radio East. And the way that Down East Journal is funded, and really the way that Public Radio East is funded, is through individual donations and from corporate sponsors as well. But that means that when you listen to Down East Journal, you're not going to hear annoying commercials. It means you're going to get more of the local news you want without the interruptions. When it comes down to it, Public Radio East and programs like the Down East Journal would simply cease to exist without your financial gift. You can see how important your pledge is to us today. Make a pledge at publicradioeast.org. Support your local public radio station.
Public Radio East will soon be celebrating its 30th anniversary, and we have to thank all the folks who have supported this station over that three-decade period. What you hear in Eastern North Carolina wouldn't be possible without you. We've gotten support from Eastern North Carolina year after year after year. We thank you for that past support. We wish it was a case of, you know, get 30 years, take 1 year off, but it doesn't work that way. We still have to pay electricity bills, membership dues to National Public Radio, bills to pay for weekend favorites like a Prairie Home Companion. That's what your pledge pays for. Year after year, you've enabled us to pay those bills, but the bills, they just keep on coming, hence the spring fund drive, making sure we have the funds on hand so you can keep your favorite programs alive and well in Eastern North Carolina. So if you haven't pledged as of yet, do so now at publicradioeast.org.
As you've been listening to the Down East Journal over the past couple of months, you may have heard stories about officials considering to place dredge debris on Shackelford Banks. Maybe you heard about the satellite that was recently launched into space by the Greenville nonprofit Go Science. And we also brought you a moving feature that honored the Montford Point Marines who faced segregation in service for an opportunity to fight for our country during World War II. You know that when you tune into the Down East Journal, you're always going to hear stories that inform you, stories that entertain you, stories that make you aware of what's happening in our community. And as a result of that, you're a more informed person. Now, if you appreciate that connection to our community, then please say thank you by making a financial gift at publicradioeast.org. Doesn't matter the size of your gift, doesn't matter how much you pledge. What matters is you participate right now. And thank you.
It's very easy to be a sustaining member. It just takes one time to call up and speak with someone to give the information of how you want that gift either taken from your bank account or from a credit card. It's extremely easy. Knowing how much each of us pays for entertainment like movies or television, knowing that a small gift can make a large impact over the year for wonderful radio programming is really important and something that people should consider. My name is Janet Monday, and I'm from Havelock.
Sustaining membership not only pays for your favorite programs, it also saves you time and keeps paperwork to a minimum, making your pledge eco-friendly. Make your one-time sustaining member transaction today, and you'll never have to make a pledge again. You'll find more information at publicradioeast.org.
This is Ann Edwards, Horticulture Extension Agent, with this week's entry in the Garden Journal. We finally have sunshine. I can't even believe how beautiful it is and how wonderful it feels. This has been, and I'm sure you've all had this conversation 100 times, the most miserable winter I can remember. I mean, really, how much ice and drab gray and cold, biting wet wind can we take? Well, apparently we made it through, and at least occasionally now, and soon every day, we're having springtime. But boy, are we all behind out in the garden. There was just no way to get out and do all the things that needed to be done in the weather that we were having. We're especially behind in our vegetable gardens. Here in coastal North Carolina, you often can start planting peas and lettuces and some other plants as early as mid-February. Well, here it is mid-March, and I've been out in my soil only once. I pulled all the weeds. Yes, even the vegetable garden this year seemed to have quite a good crop of annual bluegrass mixed with shepherd's purse, but they came out easily from the damp soil. Now, I say damp soil. I wouldn't have worked in the garden if the soil was wet. It's always a bad idea to work soil that is saturated. You want it to have dried enough to easily crumble in your fingers when you squeeze it together. You never want to work a soil that's so wet that water oozes out when you squeeze a clump. So if your garden bed isn't raised like mine is, well, you may still have a few more days before it's dry enough to get in and work. But as soon as you can, go out there and pull the weeds, especially those that look like they might be going to seed, because those seeds, well, they're next spring's weeds. So get all the weeds out of the garden, but shake all that beautiful soil back into the garden bed first. Fluff the bed with your fingers a little bit, and then pull a couple of rows, either with your finger, with a stick, with whatever you use to mark a row in the garden. Press the soil down to give you a good seed bed, and put in those first seeds of spring. For me, it was sugar snap peas. Well, a new variety of sugar snap peas, not the original ones that were 6.5 feet tall and needed massive support. There's lots of snap pea varieties out there now. Just choose the one that best suits your garden. But I lovingly put them in the ground 2 inches apart, covered them with soil, pressed the soil down, and now I'm waiting. I didn't have to water them. Believe me, there was plenty of moisture underneath that seed bed in the soil. But if it doesn't rain again soon, I will give them water. Remember that any seed that's been planted begins to swell immediately by imbibing water. And if it's allowed to dry out after that, well, that seed dies and will never germinate properly for you. So once you put them in the ground, keep an eye on them and keep them moist. I find it oddly exciting to think I may have reached a point in the year where I have to think about watering something, rather than wondering if it could possibly be any wetter out there. So enjoy these first little hints of spring. Get your vegetable garden ready, because now it's really time. And I'll talk to you in next week's entry in the Garden Journal.
You're listening to the Down East Journal on Public Radio East. I'm Jared Brumbaugh, along with George Olson, asking you to make your pledge this afternoon in any amount.
Ann Edwards and the Garden Journal, you've been listening to that for multiple years here on the Down East Journal. Some great tips to help your garden grow. And any of the gardeners in eastern North Carolina know that to make sure you've got a good garden. It takes a little bit of maintenance. You don't just throw the seeds out there and walk away and come back and boom, there it is. With Public Radio East, it's pretty much the same thing. There's a lot of maintenance involved in keeping this radio station operating. So many incidentals, from just electricity costs to various equipment repairs that are in the audio chain to get our signal from here to there. And we pay for this primarily through individual listener contributions from folks like you. And that's what these fundraisers are all about. Just make sure we get the funds on hand so that we can pay for the maintenance that's involved and keeping this program in your home, office, or car. So if you appreciate having access to informative modules like the Garden Journal here on the Down East Journal, your pledge is what makes it happen. So pledge online today at publicradioeast.org and help this radio garden continue to grow.
May I suggest a pledge of $100 or more? You can pick up that PRE member card. That's good for 2-for-1 dining at restaurants across eastern North Carolina. But also do your part to support Public Radio East, public radio for eastern North Carolina. Make that pledge this afternoon, $100 or more, and pick up the PRE member card Make that pledge at publicradioeast.org.
It's an expensive proposition to get these programs to you, but for you, it's as expensive as you want it to be. You put the price on your use of Public Radio East. If you make that $100 pledge to Public Radio East, you'll pick up the Public Radio East member card that affords you 2-for-1 dining at many restaurants in eastern North Carolina, also 2-for-1 green fees at a lot of the golf courses in the area. But if $25 or $40 is something that's more comfortable to you, that makes you a member in good standing as well. All those donations from literally thousands of people is what makes this radio station strong. So make a pledge in any amount and help us keep these great programs on the air during the spring fund drive. Pledge online today at publicradioeast.org. No matter the size of your pledge, thank you so much for becoming a member here at Public Radio East.
Thank you.